the book of Proverbs on Wednesday night. And last week, or no, not last week, the last time we were in Proverbs, we looked at chapter 7. And chapter 7 is the strange woman. And so tonight, I'm not going to give you an outline. We're just going to walk through some verses and just do a running commentary. And I'm calling chapter 8, the other woman. The other woman, that's what it's talking about. So Proverbs chapter number 8. I've already pointed out several times that the first 9 chapters of the book of Proverbs are framed differently than the rest of the book. And these first 9 chapters are framed in a series of conversations that a father has with a son. We pointed out, my son, my son. And then after you get past chapter 9, if you look in chapter 10 and verse 1, the Proverbs of Solomon. Now the book begins to be more of what we think of when we think of Proverbs, and it becomes short sayings instead of a long discourse. And so really chapter 1 through 9 are discourses that are dependent upon each other. They build, not a narrative, but discourses that build upon each other. And verse 10, chapter 10 through the rest of the chapter are little proverbs that seemingly are disconnected to each other. We'll find connection, but not always. Somebody said that chapter 1 through 9 is a small collection of longer truths. And chapter 10 through 31 is a large collection of short truths. I guess that's one way of looking at it. 1 through 9, these 9 chapters we're in, focuses on just a few key issues, major issues. Chapter 10 and on, they're going to address every issue. And chapter 7 and 8 belong together because they both talk about women. All right. If you'll notice back in chapter 7 and verse 1, my son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. We've noted that phrase, my son, I think 10 times. And what's interesting about this verse is that you won't find that phrase, my son, until you get to chapter 19. So that makes me look at chapter 7, chapter 8, and chapter 9 as one my son discourse. Now chapter 7, as we looked at, was all about the strange woman and the danger that she poses for the young man, and we'll come back to it here in just a minute. But now in chapter 8, he's going to tell this young man about another woman, and this is the woman you need to get to know. Chapter 7, it is Madam Seduction. Chapter 8, it is Madam Wisdom. And we have seen wisdom portrayed as a woman throughout the book. But now the entire chapter really makes that very pronounced, and this wisdom takes on the persona of a woman, and as a woman cries out to the young man. What's interesting is in chapter 7, the woman was real. In chapter 8, it's not a real woman. It's a figure of speech that Solomon is using. And one of the most interesting things that I've done is I took chapter 7 and I took chapter 8 on 2 computer screens, and I took 2 Word documents, and I went through the 2 chapters and I laid those 2 women out side by side to find out how many comparisons I could find between those 2 women, or contrast rather. And really tonight, that's what I'm going to give you. And this other woman in chapter 8 is everything that the strange woman is not. They are different in how they approach the young man. They are different in their speech. They are different in their behavior. They are different in their motive. And here's what I want to say. And I say this to young men, but it applies to young ladies at all, but particularly to young men. There is no greater life lesson as a young man than to be able to read a woman. Now here's why I say that. Outside of getting saved, the most life consequential decision that you will ever make is the woman you spend your life with. You can get a lot of decisions wrong, but you better get that one right. And while the strange woman is deceptive and manipulative and conniving, and she even presents herself as a wholesome woman, if you will look at her with your heart and not your eyes, the difference between those two women will be very, very clear. But if you end up picking the wrong woman, if you get the woman in chapter 7 and not the woman in chapter 8, you've got a long, hard road ahead of you. Yes, sir. Look at chapter 7 real quick. Look at verse number 8. Let me give you some contrast here. So this young man in verse 8, he's passing through the street near her corner. He went the way to her house in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. Behold, there met him a woman with the entire of an heart and a subtle of heart. She is loud and stubborn, her feet abide not in her house. Now is she without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner. And here's what I want you to notice, that this young man goes out and he finds the strange woman. She's on the street corner in the dark of night. That's where he finds her. Well, look at chapter 8 and verse 1. Doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? There's the woman. She standeth in the top of high places, by the way, in the places of the paths. She crieth at the gate, at the entry of the city, at the coming in, at the doors. While the strange woman makes herself known only to men on a particular street corner, wisdom makes herself known to all men. The strange woman, you meet her under the cover of darkness, but Madam Wisdom, there she is standing in the bright daylight, wanting everybody to see her. She's in all places. Do you notice? She's at the top of high places. She's by the path. She's on the highways and the byways and the gate. And when you come in at the door, and she's not selective to who she speaks or where she is seen. And here's what I was saying to you. Wisdom is not hard to find. Wisdom is not hid. Wisdom isn't hard to get. You just got to be looking for. Notice back in chapter 7, look at verse 21. With her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him. See the emphasis on her talking? Well, again, chapter 8. Doth not wisdom cry? Understanding put forth her voice. Verse number 3, she crieth at the gates. Verse 4, unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. Madam Subduction, she speaks in a hushed tone to the young man, and he follows her to the bedroom. But Madam Wisdom is standing in the public place, and she's crying out with a loud voice, and it seems like that the young man doesn't even hear her. Both women are calling out to him, but he only hears one voice. Because in chapter 8, Solomon says, doth not wisdom cry? Aren't you hearing wisdom? You heard the woman in chapter 7. You need to hear the woman in chapter 8. Now here's my question for you. If both women are calling out to him, why did he hear one voice and he didn't hear the other voice? Why did he choose to follow Madam Subduction, but he didn't choose to follow the voice of Madam Wisdom? Madam Wisdom is louder. She's more audible. She's more vocal. But he chose the wrong woman. Strange woman standing on the dark street corner. The other woman standing in the daylight. Everywhere he goes, there she is. But he goes after the strange woman. And here's the thing about it. Chapter 8 comes after chapter 7. But it's not like that wisdom wasn't crying out in chapter 7 too. It's not like that she's... No, she's crying out in chapter 7. There are two voices. She's calling out just as well as Madam Subduction. But he only hears one voice. Doth not wisdom cry? She's been crying all along. And the young man in chapter 7 meets his demise because in order to listen to the voice of the strange woman, he has to drown out the voice of the other woman. He has to go someplace where wisdom is not. Wisdom is not down at the house of the strange woman in a part of town that he has no business being in the dark of night. That's not where wisdom is at. And before this young man could be seduced by the flattery of the strange woman, he had to get where he shuts out the cry of Madam Wisdom. Before he is taken in with the presence of the strange woman, he has to get away from the presence of Madam Wisdom. Before he opens his heart to Madam Seduction, he has to close his heart to Madam Wisdom. So in chapter 7, his folly is twofold. It's that he listened to seduction, but he didn't listen to Madam Wisdom. And I'm going to give you a life lesson right here, all right? And what I'm getting ready to tell you guys is going to be worth the price of admission alone, all right? If you get this right here, it is we see what we want to see. We hear what we want to hear. We go where we want to go. We do what we want to do. We believe what we want to believe. We feel what we want to feel. That is humanity 101. Although Madam Wisdom is visible and she is vocal and she is audible and she is everywhere the young man goes, he did not see her. She is calling everywhere the young man is, but he can't hear her. Why? He wanted to find the sensual woman, not the spiritual woman. He found the strange woman because that's who he is looking for. He didn't go searching for wisdom. He went searching for Madam Seduction, and that's exactly who he found. Wisdom is all around him, but he can't see her because all of his thoughts are on the strange woman. We see what we see because we see what we think about. We hear what we hear because we hear what we think about. I'll give you an example. I never noticed decor and the color of the drapes and if the couch, I don't know none of that. I could visit your house, and when I left the house before I got home, I wouldn't know what color your carpet is. I wouldn't know what color your drapes were. I wouldn't know what color your couch was because I'm not looking for that. I when I go home tonight, I will not remember what any of you wore tonight. Tonight, I will not remember what I wore tonight. I'm just not looking for that. Now, my wife, she could tell you what every one of you was wearing Sunday. Down to the shoes. Because women just, they just notice that more, huh? That's what they notice. And men don't. And so they, you see what you want to see. Children, they don't see safety hazards like parents see it. Because they're not thinking about safety hazards. They say that men have selective hearing. Really, all of us have selective hearing. And it has absolutely nothing to do with hearing. We hear what we want to hear. We see what we want to see. And on many levels, our hearts are more influential in what we hear than our ears. Our hearts are more influential in what we see than our eyes are. That's why the Jewish leaders, that's why they rejected the Messiah. I mean, the Messiah is standing right there before them. It is very obvious to everybody that wants to see that he's the Messiah. But that's the problem. They didn't want to see. The problem is not that there wasn't any evidence. The problem is they did not want to accept the evidence. They saw what they wanted to see. They heard what they wanted to hear. And that's the reason why they rejected the Messiah. And on a spiritual plane, there are compelling voices on our hearing ears, and what we want to do is we want to hear God's voice. But here's the problem. You have to have a desire to hear God's voice. 10 times or 8 times in the Gospels, here's what Jesus said. He didn't say it 8 times, but it's repeated 8 times in the Gospels. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. So that's a good question. That's, do you have ears to hear? God is speaking, but if you don't have ears to hear, you're not going to hear him. Right? He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Wisdom all around, only if you want to see her. The young man heard what he's listening for. He saw who he was looking for, and you and I will do the same. God's ever present. Wisdom is everywhere, but you'll find only what you're looking for. Look down in verse number 9. He says, "Oh, you simple, understand wisdom. Ye fools, be of understanding heart. Hear." There it is, hear. "For I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips should be right things. For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing froward or perverse in them. They are all plain to him that understand it, and right to them that find knowledge." Now, there's a lot of contrast given between these two women, and the sharpest contrast in these two chapters is how they speak. Chapter 8 doesn't tell you about the attire of Madam Wisdom. Doesn't tell you how she's dressed. Doesn't tell you what she looks like. Here's the only thing it tells you. It tells you what she said. And her one call to the young man is in verse number 6, hear. One is speaking perverted words, one is speaking pure words, one is speaking deceptive words, one is speaking truthful words, one is evil words, one is excellent words. Hear. Hear. So I'll give you another life principle tonight, and this again will be worth the price of admission tonight, all right? Here it is. The best way to get to know someone, is by listening to their words. Now you think about that. She doesn't try to appeal to the young man based on her looks. But listen to what I'm saying, and you will learn all about me by just listening. You will learn more about a person by listening to them than seeing them. And here's the reason why. Oh, and I'm not just preaching to young men, but young men, pay notice here. Looks can be deceiving. Many young men have been deceived by what they saw. But if you will listen long enough, you will see deeper to that person. Here's the reason why. Your eyes are easier to trick than your ears. Your eyes play tricks on you, an optical illusion. Did I really see that? Sleight of hand. You always can't trust what you see. When the police interview a suspect, they sit them down. Brother Buddy, here's what they do. They want them to talk, right? Just talk. Just keep talking. Tell me again where you were. Tell me that story again. Just keep talking. Keep talking. Because if they'll talk long enough, eventually the truth is going to come out. Huh? We learn by you talking. When a couple is dating, all right, you don't learn anything by just sitting Google-eyed looking at each other. You don't learn nothing about that person, but talk. Deep conversations. Ask deep questions. You learn by when an employer goes to hire an employee, and this somebody's going to be with the company, then there's an interview. Come back for another interview. There might be a third. We're going to interview. We're going to have somebody else interview you. We're going to talk to you because we're going to learn. Here's the thing about, we need to learn to listen because you listen to learn. I'll give you an example of it. In Joshua chapter 9, Joshua and the children of Israel have just come over into the land of Canaan. They're settling it down and conquering the land. And the Lord had told them, do not make any covenants or treaties with the Canaanites. Well, the Gibeonites came, and they want to make a treaty with the Israelites. They kind of see the handwriting on the wall. And so what they did is they disguised themselves in old clothes and rags and wore out shoes and moldy bread. And they came up and said, we've come from a far country and want to make a treaty with you. And if you read the chapter, Joshua and the men of Israel made a treaty with them, and they were deceived by the Gibeonites. Here's why. They trusted what they saw. We see the clothes and we see the shoes. And as soon as we go back and read Joshua chapter 9, when Joshua talked to them, he asked them only two questions. Who are you and from whence come ye? Where you come from? You know, it might have done good to ask a few more questions. That's the only question. He didn't talk long enough. He didn't ask him enough questions. He trusted what his eyes saw, but it's easier to trick the eyes than it is the ears. Judges chapter 12, there's a battle between the Gileadites
and the Ephraimites, the men of Ephraim. And the men of Ephraim are losing pretty bad. And so some of the men of Ephraim, they said, man, we're going to get out of here. We're going back home. But the Gileadites blocked the way. And so what they did is they dressed like Gileadites to try to get through, the blockade or whatever it was. And the Gileadites stopped them and asked them, are you Gileadites or Ephraimites? They said, oh no, we're Gileadites. So they gave them a test. They said, say Shibboleth. Because for some strange reason, the Ephraimites could not pronounce Shibboleth. They pronounced it Sibboleth. They couldn't get the H. They had a speech impediment or something. I don't know. They couldn't get it. And by listening to them, the Gileadites were able to discern who they really are. When you're choosing friends, don't be deceived by what you see. Listen. Are their words pure words or perverted words? Are they wholesome words or ungodly words? Are they evil words or are they excellent words? Because here's the thing about it. People are not always as they appear, but people are always as they sound. Yeah. They can speak flattering words. They can deceive you for a while. But it is harder to keep up the facade with talk than it is with your looks. You can play the hypocrite a lot longer with your looks than you can with your words. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Wisdom says, just hear me. Just listen to my words. Look at verse number 10. It says in verse number 10, receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. In Bible times, in ancient times, the most valuable currency was precious stones, gold, silver, rubies, things of that nature. So what he's saying, gold and silver and rubies, he's just saying the most valuable things on earth. And that which man values most is that which God values less. Madam Wisdom, she's speaking, and here's what she says. She says, if you will let me get into your life, I will be more valuable to you than gold and silver and rubies. You believe that? She's not saying that wealth is not valuable. Because later on, she's going to say that riches and honor are with me. Not against riches, but the right kind of riches. And the reason why she is better than riches is because she'll teach you how to manage your riches. There have been many a fool that got money. But wealth without wisdom is not wealth at all. To maintain wealth, you have to have some wisdom. That's why somebody can win the Powerball lottery, get $346 million, and in 5 years they're back in a trailer park broke. Because they couldn't find out where to buy wisdom. That's why some sports star can make $100 million playing ball, and in 5 years he's bankrupt. In fact, I just Googled it this afternoon. I was just curious, and I come up with a study by Sports Illustrated that said that within 2 years of retiring, 78% of NFL players are either bankrupt or are in financial distress. 60% of NBA players are either bankrupt or in financial distress within 2 years of retiring. And the biggest reason was because of divorce. A woman is taking their money. But money can't buy wisdom, but it'd help you manage your money. Without wisdom, all the pleasures and treasures of the world is just temporary at best. Without wisdom, good things become bad things. He says in verse number 12, I wisdom dwell with prudence. And find out knowledge of witty inventions. It's interesting to me. That strange woman in chapter 7, here's what she said. She said, the goodman is not at home. He has gone a long journey. Why don't you come into my house? Because it's all alone. Ain't nobody there. Wisdom says, oh, wait a minute. I have a companion that lives with me. It is prudence. Everywhere I go, prudence goes. We dwell together. The strange woman wants to get the young man alone because he is thin and vulnerable. Madam Wisdom says, I want to introduce you to somebody that you need to get to know. And it is prudence. Prudence is kind of like discernment. It's the ability to see the danger ahead of time before you get there. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence. And watch this. And find out knowledge of witty invention. We are inundated with new inventions. And every time a new toy or a phone or a gadget comes out, we just got to go do it. And prudence says, are you sure you need that? See, wisdom and prudence gets together and they check out those new inventions to see if it's helpful or if it's harmful. And I know that inventions in the Bible is not a machine, but inventions in the Bible is anything that's new. An invention is something different than a discovery. When you discover something, it was already there. You just found it. But an invention is something that is brand new. Brand new product, brand new device, brand new idea. And the world's always looking for something new. And all inventions are not necessarily a bad thing. A seatbelt is an invention. I wear my seatbelt. An airbag is an invention. I thank God. But the Bible does give caution not to buy into every new invention that is created. There are some people that got to have every toy and every device and every gadget. That's probably not a wise thing. And prudence says, what is the intention of that invention? Why do you need that thing? That's what prudence says. Wisdom finds out the knowledge of witty inventions. Is this thing going to be used for the good of men and the glory of God? Or is there more potential harm than good? Look at verse 13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy, and the evil way, and the forward mouth do I hate. Now, as I was going through this passage of Scripture, I got to verse number 13 and got stumped, and here's why. It doesn't seem to fit. I was doing fine with Madam Wisdom talking right along. Even in verse number 14, going down to verse number 14, counsel is mine and strong wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. But verse number 13 just seemed a little bit disconnected. This is Madam Wisdom. She's talking about herself. She's telling you something about herself. And I know that the chapter verse divisions are not inspired. But I just wondered, why is verse 13 there? And I'll show you something interesting. Look at chapter 7, verse 13. So she caught him and kissed him and with an impudent face said unto him. In chapter 7, verse 13, here is a woman with a shameless face and she is seducing a young man to commit an immoral act. Do you see that? Look at chapter 8, verse 13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy, and the evil way, and the forward of mouth, do I hate. Chapter 7, verse 13, a woman trying to seduce him to do immoral things. Chapter 8, and verse 13, here's a woman says, I hate immoral things. In 1, verse 13, here's a woman that's defying God. In this verse 13, here's a woman that is delighting in the law of God. Matter of seduction is calling out to the young man, but wisdom is calling out, and Madam Wisdom has a better offer. And it's interesting to me that she's not deceptive about herself. She's open about herself. She's telling you exactly what she is. Here's what she says. I hate pride, and I hate evil, and I hate arrogancy, I hate the evil way, I hate the forward mouth, and if you're going to go with me, none of those things are on the table. I am committed. I'm committed that I'm not going to be involved in anything. That strange woman, by the way, the strange woman says, I have paid my vows. She dressed like a harlot, but I go to church. Huh? Trying to trick the young man. But this woman right here, she's just telling you up front, first day, here are the things I'm not putting up with. If you're involved in any of these things, just hit the road. I'm just not going to tolerate this. So I don't think the verse is out of place at all. She's telling you about herself, so if you consider her, this is what you're going to get. If you want a relationship with me, just know right outside the gate, we're going to do this thing right. This is good preaching tonight.
I gotta hurry. Look at verse 14. I'm hurrying.
Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. By me kings reign and princes decree justice. By me princes rule and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. There are three pitfalls for men. There is women, money, and power. God created men to dominate, to conquer, to beat somebody up. Well, not beat somebody up. To dominate. Subdue things, alright? That is in your DNA. You want strength. You want positions of leadership. You want nobility. You want to be in charge without the danger of power corrupting. And here's what Madam Wisdom says. I'll give you strength and I'll give you power.
And here's the contrast. Come back to chapter 7. I'm hurrying. Look at verse 26.
For she hath cast down many wounded. Yea, many strong men have been slain by her. The strange woman will rob a man of his strength.
Chapter 8 and verse 14 through 16. Madam Wisdom gives strength. One brings a man down. One raises a man up. Look at verse 17. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me.
It's an interesting thing about love and romance is that the longer you wait to find it, the harder it will be to find. It's harder for an older woman to find that right man than a younger woman. And there are some reasons for that. For one thing, there are not as many suitable mates at 40 as there are at 20. And when a girl is 20, you know, really you just need to have a pulse. We'll work on everything else. But when you get older, you're looking for more than a pulse. And the older you get, the more settled you get in your ways, you know. I'm sure I want a man. So you get to be more selective. That's a good thing. Well, that's how it is with wisdom. She says, those that seek me early shall find me. The reason why is because the older you get, the more settled you get in your ways. The more you know, the less you think you need to know. You can always learn, but there comes a point in time you're not sure that you need to learn. I may have already learned enough. And so rarely does a person shun wisdom when they are young to then find wisdom when they're old. So you need to seek it early. Let me give you one more last contrast. And I won't finish the chapter because verse number 22 gets in controversy. We may deal with that later on. Well, look at chapter 7 verse 25. Let not thine heart decline to her ways. Go not astray in her path.
Look at chapter 8 and verse 20. Wisdom. I lead in the way of righteousness. In the midst of the paths of judgment.
Two women calling you out to two different roads. One road is paved with pleasure. The other road is paved with integrity. One road will leave you feeling good. The other road will lead you to being good. Two wisdom. Two ways.
Look at this real quick because of that well. Look at verse number 18. Chapter 7, verse 18.
Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. An evening of pleasure, but it'll be over in the morning.
Look at chapter 8 and verse 18.
Riches and honor with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. I'll give you riches that last a whole lot longer than just one night fling. I'll give you riches and righteousness that'll last you for a long time.
Two women. Madam Seduction, Madam Wisdom.
Do you want wisdom? Wisdom is hollering everywhere. Wisdom is in books that you read. Wisdom is in sermons that you hear. Wisdom is in the counsel of a good friend or an older friend. Wisdom is in life experience. Wisdom is in the mistakes other people make. She's standing in the high place. She's in the street. She's by the gate. She's over here. She's over there. Wisdom is not hard to find if you are looking for her. but you will find the woman that you're searching for. You find Madam Seduction, you find Madam Wisdom. It just depends on who you look at.